Yes. Welcome to the Nyack School District Board of Education meeting, Tuesday, May the 17th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second. Got it. Discussion? Actually, it's an amended agenda.
Is it not, I believe, for today?
Yep. Okay, so motion, second, discussion. All in favour?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. I don't have a lot to report this evening, just a reminder to the community that on May the 24th, we have our community priorities forum at the Nyack Center starting at 7 p.m. And that's a follow-up to our film screening on March 3rd. And at this particular forum, we'll be discussing, Dr. Montesano will lead that and discuss the community priorities survey results. So very important, and no doubt we'll get a tremendous turnout as we did for the film, which garnered a lot of interest in the community.
Just tell me you're going to reenact the breathalyzer test.
Oh yeah, that'll get
that.
That'll work. I'll raise another bond for another turf field somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my report. Dr. Montesano.
I trust this information has been widely disseminated amongst the student population, but once again, Friday, May 27th, will be give back day for the snow day, so that will be no school on that day. I too was just going to comment, we are, I don't know if they've been sent out yet, but flyers announcing that May 24th community priorities forum. This is really a follow-up to the viewing we had done with the Most Likely to Succeed movie, and as you mentioned, we did have a nice turnout that night. This is also part of our strategic process that we've been working on for this past year. One of the things that we are going to be doing that night is we have a number of staff members that are going to be at tables after we do a little presentation, which will include the community survey presentation as well. We really just want to demonstrate programs that we feel are currently operating in our schools that are addressing those big C's, you know, critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, and communication. So you'll see things with regard to our Project Lead the Way program, authentic science research. You'll see a table there. If you remember the presentation that was done on the science program along with Ed Walsh's room with our 3D printers, Matt Lucero will be there with some demonstrations from the music lab, STEM Scopes, which is an elementary science program. So we just want to give the community a flavor of some of the things that are currently operating within the schools itself. So we do hope it'll be a productive night. We recognize it's a tough time to get, you know, with Little League and things like that going on, but we think it'll be a opportunity for the community, particularly our elementary parents that may not know too much about programs as they go forward, what's available to us. So, and that is my report.
Okay, Dr. Montesano, as you mentioned that, I'm looking at the flyer here, and it does say featuring demos, displays, and dialogue with staff. At some point, could we elaborate on what some of that would be? Because I think that would be impressive to add.
Would you like me to do it right now?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm, you know,
no. I know you do. Sorry, more for the community in the flyer that goes out. Yeah. Or it's not on the fly, down the bottom in the little section.
You mean my name on there's not enough to draw a crowd?
No, it's just not you. You're just not feeling it. Sorry, Jimmy. No, I'm just not feeling it.
Ouch.
I mean, I know the fly is done, but maybe in a subsequent, when's the 24th?
We could,
a follow-up, we could probably.
Well, matter of fact, we're going to be doing a robocall.
Okay.
And maybe in the robocall.
And maybe just say the things you just said, because I just think it resounds.
I'm not going to say the things you just said.
Jimmy. This is Jimmy Montesano.
All right. But we'll make sure we get something out of that.
Yay.
Okay. All right, a student rep report, Hunter and Dresco.
Thank you, President Hughes. Just two dates I want to mention that are coming, that important events are happening at the high school. Prom is June 10th, and it's going to be at the Green Tree in New Rochelle. One of my friend's dads actually is the manager there, so we got a bunch of discounts on that, which is really great. And graduation is Thursday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. at McCallman, and project graduation will be after. And the school year is quickly coming to an end, along with my high school career, which is also very exciting. And that is all I have to report.
Did any of your siblings, are they following the Binghamton?
No, they are not. They're both going to Marist.
They're both going to Marist. They're both
and you're the only one going somewhere else.
Thank God. Going to Binghamton, yeah.
Cool. Well, congratulations again to the entire family. Wonderful. Okay, Board of Education reports. Let's start with Ms. Maraschino.
All right. Well, really excited about the Community Priorities Forum that Tim was discussing. Sounds like it's going to be amazing. Just a couple other little things to report on. I attended my first Boys Varsity Baseball Dave Segrist Memorial Tournament this past weekend, which was really nice. It was, I think, just six students playing against each other. The first game happened to be postponed because of so much fog, you could not even see the balls as they popped up in the field. Then, so the first game that NIAC played Saturday morning ended up being a 10-inning game against Albertus Magnus for 4 hours, which they eventually lost and then had to go on to play another two-hour game. But so it was just a great tournament in memory of a wonderful gym teacher. So that was good. Had to just give a little shout out to, I didn't go to it, but the Upper NIAC Elementary School concert all over Facebook. And so Mr. Yanko had the kids singing Starman by David Bowie. It looked amazing. They were jamming out. Parents just loved it, and it was so exciting to see. You know, and I'm excited because that's where Holly will be next year. I have kindergarten orientation for Upper NIAC on Thursday morning, so I'll be back in Upper NIAC, which is exciting. And then the other thing that I just wanted to mention is there were some really interesting articles, education advocacy statewide articles, out this week. So it seemed like they were talking a little bit about the Commissioner Alia and the New York State Education Department launching a task force, or like a think tank, I should say they're calling it, to come up with a potential new statewide school accountability plan that has potentially got more of a focus on portfolios and assessments that are not so pen and paper, multiple choice. We'll see where that turns out, but I think I've got this right, that this was a fairly new initiative announced on Monday, and it sounds kind of exciting, so I guess we'll see what that turns into. And that is it for me.
Thank you very much. Trustee Judson.
Thank you, President Hughes. I don't have much to report. I did want to spend a minute to really thank Hunter Andrasco, who as student representative represented the students exceptionally well this year, with a balance that shows a maturity beyond your years. And I, for one, appreciate that. Appreciate your effort, your involvement, the time commitment. And thank you very much. So, and good luck at Binghamton.
Thanks.
I really don't have anything else to report.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Okay, let's move on. Trustee Recover. Trustee Rock.
Mine is on the athletic side as well. I just wanted to congratulate the modified lacrosse team. They're having an outstanding season. They lost a close one today. So I believe their record's 5-2, but I'm very proud of those young men and coach. So just congrats to that and all our athletic teams out there. And I'll keep it short this week due to the late hour. So that's all I have to report for this week.
Thank you very much. Trustee Mark.
President Hughes. Thank you. Since the last meeting, a couple of nice Valley Cottage events, something that the Fuel Up exercise activity night there, and there was a recorder breakfast. The kids were presenting some music to the parents. It also got a nice look at the courtyard, which the PTA spent some time refurbishing and cleaning up. It looked really great. Other than that, I had some calls today from some folks Today is the 17th, and it is the budget vote day and trustee vote day. Had some calls from people that actually didn't know that the vote was taking place today. And I know the district was diligent in sending out a mailer and doing some communication. And I just think it's an opportunity for us to look at other kinds of strategies that we might do to make sure that everybody knows that this day is happening. The district did a great job in putting out a great budget, and tried to do what we could to get the information out. Anything we can do to keep ourselves very open and communicative, we should look into that kind of stuff. And that's my report.
Thanks, Michael. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you, President Hughes. I have a similar question or comment with response to what Michael just said, because I got a call too in response to today's budget vote, not really the person not necessarily knowing that it was. And I know the newsletter goes out only to households that have children in the district, correct?
No.
Because I didn't get one. So I thought it was because I don't have a child in the district anymore. So I was just curious.
Yeah, we got one.
You did?
That's interesting. I didn't get one.
You didn't get one either, right? Oh, well, you have children in the district.
I don't think we got one either.
I know I got
so that list may be something that we want to look at. As well as, are we authorized to do a robo thing around the budget?
Not really. The problem with robo is you're only connecting to an audience is a selected audience, which are your parents and a board of elections.
Okay.
Potentially, it's almost a persuasive way.
Right.
The group is
right. That's my sure. Okay.
One thing I noticed, I just happened to be in a meeting, I think it was in Dobbs Ferry, and I noticed they had a couple large banner signs in the community just announcing the budget.
The budget,
budget,
yeah.
That might be something
that's
that
an idea too.
We could look into. I know they sometimes hang out, street fairs in town.
Because we just had one this weekend, a street fair. Yeah.
That might be one thing that,
yeah.
A simple way to get some information out. You know, we always have it posted on the website. There's articles in the newspapers, Rockland Times, etc.
And
something just as simple as having something. There was nothing out in front of Valley Cottage Elementary School today.
An upper Nyack.
Yeah, well, we don't really have any type signage, and as you know too, in the absence of a contested board candidate election, where sometimes you see lawn signs, that tends to get people noticing, or a good issue.
You're just doing too good a job.
Yeah.
No, but I understand. You want people to exercise their right to vote, and maybe we have to just brainstorm a little bit about what the best way to get the message out. If this is not getting out to everybody, through the newsletter itself.
And on the authorization, it's for $80,700,000.
You're actually only voting on the tax levy.
Okay.
So your total budget is 80.7
7 million. Yeah, I saw that.
In that range, but you have to really subtract out of it. You're only voting on those dollars that come through the tax base, the tax levy.
Okay.
So I think it's like 67 million.
All right. Because when I saw that, I was like, that's not what they put in the presentation, but I'm going to vote for it.
But if you add up your state aid and federal aid and those different things, then you'll get to that $80 million.
Gotcha.
Number.
All right. That's my report.
Thank you very much. Vice President Irvin.
First off, I just want to apologize for missing the last board meeting. But as you can hear, I was sick, and I still am sick. So I apologize for coughing and hacking through this meeting. But following up on this whole notion about the notification, my husband swears that we didn't get that flyer in our household either. Now, obviously, I saw it, so I knew about it. But, he mentioned to me today that he remembered that it was budget vote today because he saw signs for other districts. So I know that Liberty used to have one of those banners that we put out, and it's gotten lost over the years. So, I mean, that's a great option to have those banners revisited again. We used to post it on the fence right outside the school with the date, and we left it so that you could just with electrical tape fix the date or whatever, but I know that went missing after I left that PTA, so I'm not sure, but that's obviously a very easy thing, and I think enough at least to get, I mean, when I went to Valley Cottage to vote tonight at 7 o'clock, I was the only one there. So I think, I don't know where everybody was. They said it was slow today, so I guess there's probably not a very large turnout.
The numbers look to be similar to tracking similar to last year. Yeah. Last year was a little bit lower. Yeah. And again, I will share with you that, you know, when you do not have a either a contested budget, mm-hmm. an override,
yeah.
or you don't have multiple candidates right. on the slate, you're not, you know, you just look at your track record in this district over the years. Yeah. You know, back in 2014, I think it was,
yeah.
you had well over 1,100 total
yeah, you
votes.
Have it here. Yeah.
Yet over 2,000 when we had the bond referendum vote.
Mm-hmm.
Last year you had just over 700,
yeah.
and it looks like you're going to be around that number tonight. You know, from what the way it was, you know, progressing.
Well, obviously, we just want to encourage. I mean, everybody that I got a hold of, I encouraged to go vote. We've got to keep telling people that and just keep.
You know, again, I guess the other point I'll make, you know. Nationwide, I'm sure the next presidential election may be a little different, just given that attention. But when you look across this country, with the percentage of registered voters, even voting
it's
for presidential elections, there's been a steady decrease. You know,
it's
over time.
And I just want to say one other thing. My daughter is playing softball, so I keep hearing from everybody how much the community loves that field. People are just raving about the softball field and the new multi-purpose field.
Mm-hmm.
So the compliments keep coming, and I think that's great. And I think it's wonderful. So that's all I have.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Leah.
President Hughes, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you
may.
Trustee Jetson, you may.
It was suggested by a couple people to me that in a year when there isn't a contested election, but there are new board candidates that they have, that we provide a candidates forum regardless of a contested election. And that also would get the word out to and then that brought up the secondary point, which is, does the district have any obligation, or is there a regulation that would prevent the district from hosting that? Because I think normally the Parent Teacher Council,
the PTA does,
the PTA does
it.
But they historically
only,
didn't
right.
do it
if there was no.
it was if there were not new board members
or not contested.
You know, most I defer to Ralph as well, but normally the districts that I have seen, it's either the League of Women Voters that organize it, because you want a moderator that's somewhat, you know, unbiased, or like PTA Council. That's the way we've done it here. But I don't know if there's any.
I'm not aware of any regulation on the issue. I've seen it the way that Jim just suggested as well. If it's an issue, I can look into whether the district itself could host it. But I've seen it in other districts. It's been either a PTA or a PTO or the League of Women Voters doing that and requesting use of your facilities for that purpose.
Perhaps we could talk to the PTAs and talk to them about if there is a 1, 2, 3, whatever, new board members, actual new board members, whether it's contested or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think the PTA Council would work
with
the board.
I don't think they have any problem.
Typically, I think they've taken a position that there's only 3 seats, there's 3 members, so, you know, is there a value?
Well, the feedback was to get to know the candidates.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a value. Then, you know, and then I'm sure that, you know, Heather and her group would be happy to host
mm-hmm.
it, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
We should pick
gifts.
That up.
Nobody knows, Terrence.
Right. Nobody knows, Terrence, yeah. We get 2 votes tonight. Myself and Tony, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Right. Dr. Montesano, any response to citizens' prior questions or concerns?
No.
Okay. Citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns. We have 2 names here. Jeffrey Rose would like to discuss start school later. Jeffrey, if you could. Now it's your name for the podcast, please.
Yes. So my name is Jeffrey Rose. I'm a clinical hypnotist, nutritionist, sleep specialist, and addiction recovery coach. I addressed the board back in, I think, the fall, you might recall. We had just moved from Nyack, actually, to New City. But I'm addressing the board again as the head and the founder of the Start School Later Lachlan chapter. We have 73 chapters now. I think we had about 65 then, 15 at the time I started this. And so this is a concern of mine. I want to keep trying to nudge and persuade and educate as many school board members and also president and also superintendents within Rockland County on this issue. Ariana Huffington is now on a crusade with her book called Sleep Revolution. And there's a documentary came out, and we're working on it right now. There's an excerpt. I'd love to be able to play for a minute, just the audio, if I could just have you listen to it.
Yeah.
If we have the video, it would be great, and then I'll just add another 20 seconds in after that, okay?
That is a time of life when growth and development are still occurring at rapid rates. The vast majority of U.S. teenagers cannot get enough sleep with current school hours. Over two-thirds are getting under 8 hours of sleep a night. 40% of American high school students get 6 or fewer hours of sleep per night. Quite a few schools that are starting well before 8. Many of them start in the 7 a.m. hour. I even know a couple that start at 6:50 a.m. for regular classes. We're talking about many American high school students waking up 4:45, 5, 5:30, 6 a.m. When schools have moved their bell times later, we see that there is less use of caffeine, alcohol, less substance abuse, fewer signs of depression, more attention in class, lower car crash rates among teenagers, better grades and test scores, fewer absences, less tardiness, better graduation rates, fewer suspensions and disciplinary actions. That's on the academic side. We know, of course, there's better cognitive functioning when kids get more sleep. Grades and test scores moved up across the board for every kid. We really shouldn't be talking anymore about whether we should be doing this. We should be talking about how we're going to do it.
So that was Tara Zaporn, who is the executive director of the organization at Maryland, which is where she works. She's a medical writer. And she was featured in this Huffington Post piece, and the documentary is going to be out. I'd love you to watch the documentary, because it's conclusive that this is the best thing we could do for our high school students' mental wellness, and also the grades and performance in sports. Everything points to this. And this is trending around the country. And not just south of here, of course, too, where the Tappan Zee moved to 8:15, as you know. And I think now's the time to, as we just heard here, say not why, but how. Let's implement that. And if you need any help with the templates, I could get you information on all the strategies that you could employ to move things, adjust things, and make it feasible, financially feasible. And it's done sometimes with just a little cost, sometimes at no cost. And even if it does cost more, the benefits far outweigh the cost when you consider everything that you just heard in that audio. Okay, so is there, I don't know, is any progress being made at all in this?
Well, what I can share with you is, and I have met with some of the parents, I think following that meeting that was held at Liberty. What we have done as a district is we did look at transportation costs, because that's really where the cost that you're referring to comes from. And I'm very familiar with the South Orangetown plan. I don't know if we brought this or discussed this with you at the meeting yet, but the last time you were here at the board. The primary difference between us and South Orangetown is they run a two-tiered bus system. We run a three-tiered bus system. So the three-tier obviously is a domino effect. We do have a transportation consultant that we did have run some scenarios for us, just to give the board some understanding of what price points or what cost variables. Obviously, the best scenario would be just affect the high school time and not the other start times, would have the least impact on everyone. That would have, based on our estimates or based on the consultant's estimate, probably about $800,000 change cost, because we'd have to go to a full two-tiered bus system. We'd have to add X number of buses to be able to transport both middle school and high school kids simultaneously. We also looked at what would be some scenarios where it'd be zero cost. Mm-hmm. And there may be other available options that were not completely exhausted, but I do know he did spend a pretty good amount of time looking at this. Cost-free option would be to simply switch schools, like the middle school and high school, and would you be trading off the issue, if you will, for your middle schoolers? Through my perspective, it's certainly not my decision, but it always made a little bit least amount of sense when you think about the elementary parents who typically have to get out of work, they need childcare for their students. I also spoke up at the high school to a group of high school students. I have a little superintendent's advisory group. They raised a number of feedback, not that they should be the decision makers in this, but they did alert me to, and again, the student base we have here does have some differences to the student base we have in South Orangetown. Mm-hmm. We have a number of high schoolers that have responsibilities for childcare for their own families. So they, you know, with the high school getting out earlier than the elementary, they can be home and so forth. And then, of course, the one I'm sure you've heard multiple times is the athletic programs or extracurricular programs or kids that are in the workplace and things of that sort. And the one disadvantage about the one strength of Rockland County, it's intimacy. There's only 8 school districts, public school districts that exist, but they all happen to be of different sizes. So as a result, we're in different scheduling than, like, we don't play typically North Rockland in many sports. Our kids very often travel across the bridge, and, you know, are they going to be getting home at a certain hour? So what is that time frame that we could, you know, make a change? I think, is it Mrs. Terranova? Came up with an idea that she presented me recently. And by the way, I did forward all those articles you sent me to our board as well. The idea was simply that if we switched off the middle school time with the high school time, our high school starts at 7:30, and rolled everybody back 15 minutes, so the middle school would then start 7:45, which isn't too far away. The middle school time, I don't remember off the top of my head what time the middle school starts.
8:04.
8:04. So that would mean the high school would probably start around 8:15, which is similar to South Orangetown, right. And 8:20. So is that feasible? It possibly is. You know, honestly, our conversation was maybe a week ago. So I really haven't had flushed it out with get the board's feelings or talk with the athletic director or those that might be impacted by it,
right.
Or the kids and things. But anyway, those are the things that we've looked at, up to date.
The key benefit for that is as they get older, the sleep-wake cycle shifts where they're not getting tired close to 11, which is when the melatonin flows. So it'd be better for them to be able to wake up as late as possible. They're not going to get 9 hours sleep, which is what they biologically need, like you all need 7.5 hours. But there's a shot they could do that. It's impossible right now.
Right.
And it's still, even though 8:15, that's not late. It's just less early.
Right.
Because the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended a year and a half ago that no high school starts before 8:30. And the national average is 8 o'clock. But we're getting there, and I'm hopeful. I'd love to have a state mandate. You know, we've got Maryland, we have New Jersey now, that their departments of education, Department of Health, are studying this now, passed unanimously, and the governor signed it there, and there's other states that are doing the same thing. It would make it easier for everybody. Mm-hmm. Then I wouldn't have to go
to mandate.
School district. Yeah, it would just be wonderful to do that. And then all the sports and everything would sink in that way, and it would be great. Not unlike Europe is doing and Canada is doing. It's running closer to 9 o'clock. Thank you.
Thanks very
Thank
much,
you.
Mr. Rose. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Can I see you too?
Jennifer Terranova?
Yes. My name is Jennifer Terranova, and my profession, I'm a pediatric occupational therapist. I also have 3 children. One is an 8th grader, 5th grader, and a 2nd grader. So, I'm seeing the effects of the waking up early on my 14-year-old, who's like a zombie in the morning. And, as an occupational therapist, I'm aware of the importance of sleep. You know, I treat children of all ages, but I just know what detriment that the sleep deprivation can do to children. I really think in this country, like the angry teenager, or like a lot of the emotional, there's hormonal and emotional changes for teenagers, but you don't see them to the extreme that we have here in other countries where the children, start school at a more reasonable hour. It's just been passed by this Center for, the Center for Disease Control has come out with a statement. The American Academy of Pediatrics has come out with a statement that, no high school should start, again, as Jeffy said, before 8:30. If there's anything we can do, there's just on so many levels. Even like Jeffrey, I'm part of this organization, so I get like articles at least 3 or 4 a week. Even the Yankees realized, they started their practice later because they said the Yankees are playing night games and they're tired and they're waking up early for practice, and then they realize that's affecting their play. So, our profession, so it just goes across the boards. There will be less sports injuries, obesity, depression, anxiety, drug and substance abuse. The implications are so huge, that it's just such an important issue that I feel like, you know, we should all be looking into what we can do to remedy it the best we can. But again, that doesn't, you know, cost the district $800,000, but, you know, if there's cost-free ways that we can do it, let's see what we can do to work on it.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Would you mind talking to my boss about me needing sleep as well, please? Thanks very much, Ms. Terranova.
Just to follow up on that, when I'm part of one of the workshops that I saw when we were up at National School Boards mm-hmm. Convention, was a presentation by representatives of the Fairfax, Virginia school district. 184,000 children, and with lots of variations and lots of complications. And there were a couple of advocates that got on the school board and started pushing for that change. It took them a couple of years with consultants and so forth, and they ran into all the kinds of impediments that we're all talking about that did reference Start School Later as a resource. But they did figure it out, and they didn't get it to 8:30, but it was better. And so I know it's something we've been talking about for a long, long time. It seems like there's more conversation about it. If we can do something about it, we should.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt. Where do you want the security?
Linda is where?
She left and went to her office, right?
Can you walk over, Lisa? Thank you.
Anyway, there was some information that they provided, and I can pass that on to the board to add to the conversation.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Dr. Montesano, what do you see as next steps here?
Well, I think...
You want something from us? So.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the next steps need to be is, you know, what I can do is frame out for you some scenarios, and review some of which I'd given you to, I think, at the beginning of the school year when we had gotten some transportation mm-hmm. options. What I can do is map out, give you a couple different options that look to be agreeable to the board or things that you would like to see looked at. And simultaneously, much like I think the board has always done, is to try to get as much feedback from your community in terms of, we have PTA Council, we have NTA, we have... and we can set up some, whether we do it through a survey of some form to get some input from the community. I do know Dr. Mitchell, Ken Mitchell, was the superintendent of South Orangetown when they went through that process. And he did share with me much of what they had done, which was a lot of community involvement just to get some some insight so that I would not suggest the board just unilaterally make a change and let without some kind of input from folks, and let the collect some feedback for the board as to what people are seeing as potential challenges. What might not work. I don't know what that time break would be, where it may cause unmanageable challenges, but. If you get, obviously, if you start the school at 9 o'clock, there'd be some difficulties in terms of, getting your kids as actively involved in the extracurricular types of things as they are now. So what that time frame is, just flesh out some processing and see where the board wants to go with it. If this is something the board is interested in pursuing, then we'll make it work.
All right, I appreciate that. Do we have a sort of consensus that we want to get the information?
Yeah. Yes, we definitely want to get feedback
and
information.
So.
Sure.
I'd say feedback. I want to be very careful about the extracurricular part, the mm-hmm. sports and arts, drama and music, because having children who are athletes and knowing many who are athletes mm-hmm. and who are musicians and in drama, they're getting home now from some of these practices and things at 6:37 and eating dinner, then they got homework. And to make it even later mm-hmm. means you're trading the beginning and the end. It's it's a challenge. So it's not that it's not doable, but to be very cognizant of that part of the, which is a large segment of our student population, between arts and sports.
And I would suggest also as part of that, much as what these folks have tried to do for the board, is in the process educate the community. I mean, it's always, anytime they change, the one thing that I've learned over the years is help people understand the reasons for change. That's not change just for the sake of change, what the benefits are, what the impacts are. I'm sure any parent with a teenager read those articles, it shakes their head that, you know, they see those types of things. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, ultimately bring it back before the board to, you know, see what you think is doable.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, good.
Yep.
Terrence?
Sounds good.
Good. All right. There we go. Thank you. Thank you once again for keeping us aware. Yeah. Okay. Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on our workshop item today? Community survey? No. Dr. Lonsasala.
Yeah, what I was planning to do, and I will just share with the board that I had this on the agenda prior to us confirming the date for the May 27th, was basically to share. I know the board has seen the presentation of the community survey. I'd be happy to walk everyone in the room through the presentation. At the same time, you know, if the board wants to just push this off, recognizing it's going to be presented at the 24th meeting, you know, I can do it that way as well. So I'll just throw that out to you folks.
24th? Sure.
So, I was really hoping to see it.
Well,
there's always one.
No, you can post it to the 24th.
So. It's going to be posted on the, you know, what I can.
And we have it now anyway.
Yeah, you gave it to us.
Yeah.
No, but we also have members of the audience here as well. Oh, but, okay. You know, just to, what I can do is give you a quick scenario. And I do want to thank Lisa Vitalik that's here tonight, who really did terrific job in working to get this out to the community. We put out over 2,600 invitations, if you will, to collect, solicit feedback and participate in the survey. And we had just under 1,000 participants. And the demographics of the survey, while this is not a scientific survey, which is people need to understand in a sense that this was not a random sampling, but the 1,000 folks really do represent, we do have data. One of the slides breaks you out demographically, so it shows you what percentage are were staff members, community members, parents of young children, parents of you know, teenage children, community members. It also gives you a spread out of the participation rates by Central NIAC, NIAC, all the various, you know, Valley College, etc. And it's a very nice spread that very much mimics the population that we have within the community itself. The survey also took your mission statement and asked our community how well are we performing on what this Board of Education has stated as its prime mission for its students. So there is going to be data about some of those areas. And overall, I think the community has, or the survey results are very favorable in terms of how the district is performing. But I will share with you, there are some pockets where we recognize based on the survey results, and this is the idea of the survey, is to help us understand the perceptions that the community have of how well our schools are performing for our kids. We also asked the community for the strengths of our district in terms of what areas do they feel we're really performing very well in. And not surprising to me, I'm sure not surprising to many of you, the performing arts, you know, had the highest level of rating, followed by academic performance. But there are some areas in terms of, you know, how well are we meeting the needs, individual needs, both students that will benefit from being accelerated, as well as students that need additional assistance. You'll see that the data reveals, or the survey revealed, that our community or our group are looking for more personalized opportunities for learning. Very important to me, because this was part of our strategic planning when we came and met with the administrative team over the summer. What emerged for us when we talked about a profile of a NIAC High School graduate, the types of competencies we want to see in our students, recognizing that this world and the world students like Hunter are going to be entering, is very complex and it's rapidly changing. And we identified things like critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, compassion and empathy, cultural global awareness, digital literacy. And what you'll see is that the survey, the community, the participants in the survey also valued those things very highly. But when we ask the question, how well is the district performing for our students, to attain those types of competencies. Some are pretty good, but there's clearly some that demonstrate that there's a gap. And I'll just give you one as this one example. One of the things that everybody seems to value is the need for us to focus on innovation and creativity in our students. Yet when we asked our community how we're performing there, it was only, I think, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's like 24% felt that that was a strength for us. Mm-hmm. You know, what I take out of that is not that our teachers are incapable of being innovative and creative. I think the message I see, and if you talk to your teachers, they'll say the same thing. Some feel very locked by the Common Core curriculum and the, you know, obsessive focus on getting kids prepared for the regents, getting kids prepared, which is very content-driven, or the regular state assessments in grades 3 to 8. So the point of this is what we want to do with this data and what we're going to be talking to the community about on the 24th is creating that vision for and making it clear to everyone, to our staff, to our community, that these are the competencies this district values. We believe these are the things that we think our kids need to be successful in the world that they're entering. And then we're going to start to work on this, like we are going to be doing that night. These are some examples where we think our programs are hitting those marks. At the same time, we also know there's gaps where we need to focus more attentions across the district on these types of things. So that's kind of where we're building ourselves towards. We have a group of high school, very talented art students that are now working with Lisa and Joe Fusaro, and they're looking to create a visual graphic display. Some apparently, from what Lisa and I met with the kids, and some clearly have computer graphic abilities. Others have more drawing. Illustration expertise, so we should see a blend. They're going to be collaborating on a joint project. So, what I hope to be able to do is present to the board some visual displays. We'll create some focus groups to see if we can't create something that will basically replace that little red circle symbol that we have to represent our schools. So that's what this is about, and that's what this survey presentation is about.
Excellent. So roll on the 24th. Thanks very much, Jim.
So question. So that graphic display is going to be a reflection of pretty much what you're looking to do from a strategic planning standpoint.
Competencies that both our leadership team and our community seem to be in concert with, say, yes, these are the, and by the way, that's what the research that we have is really indicating, the most likely succeed movie, etc. These are things that we think are important, that our programs, whether it's kindergarten or high school AP English, contribute towards those competencies.
It reminded me of the project at the end of that movie, that large project that they put together.
Yeah,
that was more of a historical piece. But anyway.
Any other questions for Jim? No? Okay. Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you.
Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the action item? Do we have a motion to accept action item 3.2?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to accept business action items 4.1 to 4.6?
Motion.
I don't have a 3.3.
Do you have an amended agenda?
Oh, I don't need
Yeah, that's the stipulation.
It's not on the agenda, but it's on the
website. No, it's on the website. Okay.
Oh, we have a second. I'm sorry. That stipulation, if there's any questions, that was that student that we had spoken to the board several times. Ralph had as well. This is it was finalized today. We put it on to just to get the signature moving and get it finalized.
Okay, so do we have a motion to accept action item 3.3?
Motion.
Second.
Second?
Second.
Who motioned?
TT.
It's on the podcast, you'll pick it up.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah, but that's smart.
Yeah. Okay. James, we hope so. Speak quietly. speak loudly.
No.
All right, let me start this again to be sure. We had a motion.
Motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Oh.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Okay. Do we have a motion to accept business items 4.1 to 4.6?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, personnel?
Yes, I just do want to take a moment to acknowledge we have a number of personnel, teacher assistants, along with senior clerk, teachers that are resigning for the purposes of retirement. I do want to acknowledge them for all of their years of service. I also want to acknowledge Coach Mike Ramponi, who's been a phys ed teacher at Valley College, also our football coach, who is going on to become the Ardsley Athletic Director, and also Tracy Smith, our assistant principal. One of our two assistant principals at the high school has been appointed as the principal, new principal of Sleepy Hollow High School. I want to wish them the best of good fortunes in their professional journey.
Thanks very much, Jim. Okay, do we have a motion to accept action items 5.1 through 5.10?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, discussion?
Do we need to, it says 5.10, and then on the website there are three other additional items?
Yes, I guess I apologize. You guys must have not got the most recent updated. The other additional amendments are the most recent amendment.
12 and 13.
There's a 5.1, which is a leave of absence. This is Jackie Arshun. She had put a late request. She's out of maternity, has some additional complications. So it's a request for her leave to be extended through June 1st. Also, we have a resignation of a teacher assistant at Upper Nyack that just came in, Ryan O'Rourke, who has received actually a teaching position in another district. And also a teacher assistant. This is for the Saturday ESL STEM Academy, Doris Lascano. By the way, we had our first Saturday Academy this past Saturday. You had 25 students, middle school students, bilingual students, both Creole and Spanish speaking students. It sounded like it was a wonderful, wonderful day. They have 3 weeks left of this as well.
Okay.
So you've got 5.10 all the way down to 5.13.
So do we have a motion to accept?
Motion.
Action items 5.11, 5.12, and 5.13.
Motion.
Thank you. Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries.
Did we call the vote on 5.1 through 5.10?
No, we did those already.
We did.
Did we? I don't think
we did.
We had a motion.
Because we set
a
discussion and I asked about it.
So
you got to do 5.1
to 5.13.
All in favor of action items 5.1 to 5.10?
1.3.
We accept you. Okay, we'll do it.
We're doing
we'll do all over. All
we're
right.
Doing it now.
Scratch your records. Action personnel, Dr. Montesano, would you like to say anything? Do we have a motion to accept action item personnel 5.1 through 5.13?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Now
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Okay.
Motion carries.
Now we're good.
We will now recess for the budget trustee vote results.
Yes.
Are we reconvening?
Do we have a motion to reconvene?
Did we not?
Oh, no.
Did we unconvene?
We unconvened.
How did we
do? We just
recessed.
We
recessed. So
okay.
Now we can reconvene.
I will be reading off the results of the general election first question, which is the general budget proposition on the tax levy. There are 507, and please understand these are unofficial votes. We have not yet tallied the absentee ballots. We have 570 yes votes, 168 no votes. So it does appear that the general budget tax levy will be approved. Proposition number one, this is a vote, second question vote to expend, authorize the Board of Education to expend $5 million from a current existing capital reserve fund. There are 569 yes votes, 170 no votes. The third and final question was an additional question. This is before the voters. This authorized the Board of Education to be able to expand an existing capital reserve fund from $5 million to $10 million, 550 yes votes, 187 no votes. So it does appear that all three will pass. So the second part of this equation, we had three candidates for positions on the Board of Education. I do want to comment that one of the seats, of those three seats, is a two-year remaining term on Dan Kaplan's seat. So the lowest total vote getter, based upon, again, these unofficial results, and these will have to be finalized tomorrow, will in fact have a seat on the Board to complete Dan Kaplan's two-year seat. That person will in fact take Terrence's seat beginning as soon as that individual is sworn in, rather than at the typically the Board position becomes available at the reorganization meeting. But given Ralph's review of this, that's how this will occur. So, Michael Mark, 561 votes. Terrence Rock, 539 votes. And Damon Bender, 496 votes. So, what will happen, Mr. Rock, is the good news is that you will have a three-year seat. And maybe the better good news
vacation.
Is you'll have a
vacation. A three-week vacation, right?
I'm on vacation really for 3 weeks.
Three-year term and a three-week vacation.
And we could probably run copies if anybody would like a copy.
That would be great.
If you had a chance. It just has a breakdown by the different voting.
Thank you. Congratulations, Michael.
Yes.
Congratulations.
The absentee ballots are actually added in.
Oh, they are.
What aren't added in are any affidavit ballots,
okay,
which are very few.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Is the machine operating? Copy machine? Can we run some copies off of this?
Yeah, I'll
that's okay. No, don't waste
how
the
many?
Paper. You'll have it written down, send it to us. Does anybody want a paper copy?
Oh, actually, you know what? You're right. I don't have
a paper copy. No. Well, maybe the winners do. I don't know. Does anybody want a copy?
I'm sure it'll be in the newspaper tomorrow, too.
I just wrote it down.
No,
tell them.
Who's making copies?
Linda.
Are you going to email it to us?
Or no, Teresa just went to
do it. No, you guys said you wanted to email it to Mark, too? That works.
Email
that's
will
fine.
Work.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, because you usually post them when we get them officially, right?
Yeah, and there'll be a very minor change to these numbers.
Yeah.
If
just email them when they're done. Yeah.
Tell her to stop, Lisa.
Yeah.
Tell her to stop.
Oh. But Teresa looks like she's in the process of making them. So if they're there, you can take them on your way out.
It does say tentative on the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Congratulations on another successful budget.
Yes, indeed.
Congratulations.
Thank you to the
community. Congratulations to the new board members.
Yeah. Thank you. Excellent. So we have a motion to adjourn. Guys, hold on. Guys. The mics are on.
7.1.
And no one can hear what we're talking
7.
About.
7.1 does say accept tentative results. Do we have to do it officially?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
All right. Do we have a motion to, well spotted, Mr. Mark? Do we have a motion to accept the tentative vote results?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Wow. Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.